This audio presentation is the teaching of Chaplain Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. This message entitled Finishing the Race was delivered on December 16th, 2018. Here now is Chaplain Frank.
Today we have a special treat. We have Chaplain Frank. Everybody welcome Frank.
Thanks, James. All right, we good? Can you hear me? This just thing sounds so loud. Good morning, everybody. How's New Hope today? All right, can we get another clap offering for God and a round of applause for the worship team? That was just a great time today. And for James and Jen for the announcements. It's such a blessing for me to be able to come and talk with you folks. And today really is a really exciting one for me for a couple different reasons. I'll see if I can weave this together. You know, when I was asked, I said, sure, because I enjoy sharing the message and seeing what God puts on my heart and then passing that on with you guys. You know, that's one of our commands, right, to go out and love God, love one another, and love ourselves, but also share the good news. So whenever I have that opportunity, I just really, it excites me to do that. But also, and Pastor Aaron just was like, he said, here's what you got to do. And he just gave me the title, and I just ran with it. So I really thank you for that, because I had a few things on my heart, but he goes, racing, that's what you're doing, finish the race, talk about it. And he kind of walked off. It was like one of those drive-by, here's the word you're going to do. And I was like, perfect, thank you, God. There's the revelation. It helps me out. So one of the things I wanted to do here is let you know, right? I'm wearing my Racers for Christ swag. I'm a chaplain with Racers for Christ. For those that you don't know, I'm going to roll you into this. Racers for Christ is a non-denominational international organization, meaning worldwide. And what they do is they have chaplains such as myself, as I'm a lay chaplain, but there's also ordained chaplains. And we go and we have a love for anything with an engine and motorsports and God. And what happens is, instead of having to pick one or the other, God goes, I can use you at an event. Me, I like drag racing, but there's motorcycles, there's rodders for Christ, which are the hot rods, there's riders for Christ with anything with two wheels, there's RC, you know, radio control guys. There's the boat guy. I mean, wherever there's an engine and there's some performance, there's probably a chaplain serving. The motto of Racers for Christ is bringing inspiration to the world of motorsports. I'm like, oh, perfect. I get to go down here and love God and love on racers and be there to help and serve. So what I do here in Hilo is I go down to the racetrack in Panaeva out past Leilani in the dump, Leilani Drive, not Leilani that way. Leilani Avenue and the dump in town, and there's a racetrack back there. Actually, did you guys know that it's a county facility, first of all? It's a county facility. There's a drag strip. There's a motocross BMX little track. There's a dirt oval quarter mile for, like, the bombers and sprint cars. And then the small car guys and the go-kart guys use part of the track and the pits to do their events. Every weekend, somebody has rented that facility to enjoy motorsports. There's concessions that get set up. There's, ADA-approved bathrooms. It's a beautiful place. So if you hear of something with motorsports, that might be a place I'd encourage you to go down. So anyway, what I'm doing is, because the church has supported me in my ministry, I have a responsibility to come back and report out to you. So not only do I get to share some good news today, I get to report out on my activities, because this is my ministry. This is something I've wanted to do for a long, long time. I'm the only chaplain with Races for Christ in Hawaii, so I am recruiting. I will talk to anybody at any time. If you want to do this, I will help you through it, because we can always use help. I can't make all the events everywhere. I'm trying to convince my wife, Marcia, we got to travel the whole chain of island, because there's events on every island, so we're trying to get going on that, but I can use help. So I get to share the good news, I get to talk about my ministry, and I get to talk about, not only is it my ministry, I do this. We're getting ready to bring our car out next year. And so part of what I've weaved into this thing are the three things is I report back to you, but I can also give you an update on something that is near and dear to my heart and I'm excited about. So we'll jump into this, okay? Finishing the race. So if we get our, I went to a class, and I'm going to be talking about this in between some of the scripture. But when we look at the race we are in, each of us, whatever race we're doing, where's our focus and attention? You know, are we relying on our own energy, our own knowledge and our own abilities, like, can I get in there and do this all on my own, right? The classic, I get them. I got them. It's okay. I get it. Or are we looking to God for his hand in our race, whatever that is, raising children, going to school, doing our job, running our business? Maybe it's a combination of both. Honestly, for me, it is. It is, right? I'm doing the work, but I know I can't do that without God reaching in and touching me and guiding me and helping me through that, right? I can make all these wonderful plans, but God sets my steps. I go, hey, Lord, here's what I want to do, and hopefully I don't just barrel through it. He goes, fine, son, here's how we can make this happen. So we're involved in all different kinds of races throughout our day. Their commitments, their obligations, their goals, their wishes, their our desires. And they are all competing with just a finite amount of time, right? We got 24 hours in a day. And we only have so much energy, and we only got so much time, and we've got time that we spend with God in our devotions, time with our ohana, doing our employment, whatever that is, our hobbies. We got to take care of ourselves. What do we enjoy doing? That chirps at us for attention. They all want our time. They all want our attention. And how do we determine what and when to focus on? Some we draw on what we've learned in school. We look at Stephen Covey and the 7 or 10, you know, ways to manage my day, and we set up and we do that. We have all different kinds of strategies to stay focused on what we want to do. All of our different skills, all of our experiences. These all help us navigate our day, right? That's the race we're in. And race doesn't necessarily mean it's a fast one, right? If anybody runs marathons or does, it's a long, slow process. You train easy and you take your time. So part of what I'm trying to do is share my story of what's going on. And it's been a lifelong dream for me to be able to race. And it's been something that's been on my heart. It's something I don't know if I'm good at because I've never done it. Believe it or not, I've been working on cars, I've been building cars, I've been on teams for many, many years, but I've never driven a race car, like on a track. You know, everybody's done something on a stoplight, but we're not counting that. So that's one of the things that's going on. Now, something else that's happening underneath all of this is that Pastor Scott, Pastor Aaron, and Pastor Dennis are assisting me in the application process to become a pastor here at New Hope. And that's scary. They're not listening. It's scary. This is like, they wanted me to be a pal. I'm like, no, I don't feel any of the. And I got the classic, go pray on it. So I went and prayed on it, and I felt like, okay, what is going on? I talked with my wife. She was like, hey, let's. I said, do you really want to be a pastor's wife? I was hoping she'd go, oh, no. And I'd be off the hook. No, she was like, yeah, this is great. This is awesome. I'm like, oh, Lord, no, not another one. Okay, so here we go. So humble myself. What is going on? But they made sense. Pastor Scott and Aaron and Dennis made sense. He said, you're already doing an outreach ministry. It's something you already know how to do. You're already enjoying it. Let's just make this official. Let's make this part of the community. Let's utilize your natural gifts with that. And I said, okay, I'm comfortable doing that. So I'm in the process of going through those things. So what I did was, in my quest to learn to drive, and the reason I need to do this is I'm going to be driving a dragster similar to this one at a speed and mile per hour that requires me to have a license. And it essentially says I've been observed and I'm competent to do this correctly without racking up, you know, a $50,000 vehicle. There's a couple ways you can go about this. You can go to the racetrack and other licensed drivers who are there can watch you do a short run and a little longer and a little longer, and you do 6 or 7 of these things. And basically, if you've got other, it's like OJT on the job. If they watch you and go, he looks competent, I'll compete against him, meaning they'll get in the other lane and race me. And we were like, okay, we could do that, save all the money. I don't got to fly to the mainland, pay for the class, do all these other things. But in talking with my wife and my brother and some other folks, they said, no, let's go and learn. I said, oh, God, I got to go back to school. So that's what we did. We figured out when we wanted to go, and I contacted these folks at the Frank Hawley Drag Racing School. Now, his first name is Frank, so it couldn't have been that bad, right? But he's a world champion racer. He's done Top Fuel racing and other really, really quick stuff. He's retired, but he teaches a class. So this was 2 days of intensive, focused, demanding instruction. We were in the class and in the race car. So it was a race many years in the making for me. The decision was made at least a year ago as we got our car, hey, I've got to do this class. So we figured out when and what, and we were looking, and some dates came and went. He's holding classes all over the United States every month. But we weren't sure when to go. We weren't sure if it's what God wanted. So I have no experience behind the wheel. We knew we had to get this done. So when we made the deposit, we were looking at some times that were going to work for us. My brother, who's already licensed in both Super Gas and Super Competition, was going to come back up with me. So I'm like, oh, great. But now his schedule's got aligned. But, you know, God was so good that he aligned not only for me to be in the mainland for something for work. The following week was the class. So I'm like, I'm already here. Had to get permission from my boss to deviate on my travel because I work for the state. And, you know, you folks don't like to see us guys go to the mainland for some conference and then stay for vacation, right? So I had to get permission from my boss and the boss's boss and make it legit and show them what I was doing. So they approved it. I'm like, oh, good, I can go. Then my brother, who's got his son and his business, all his stuff started to line up. His son wasn't going to be with him that weekend, was going to be with the mom. I'm like, oh, it's falling into place. All good. So all these things worked out where this was the right time for me to get done with this class. So we did that. And like all races, like all things we have, there's manuals. We have a Bible. They sent me a course manual. I didn't bring it because it was intimidating, but it was about, you know, as thick as my binder, probably 50 pages, and it prescribed every single step that I would have to do to successfully pass the class and earn my license. I mean every step. We get in, we sit, my hand is on the steering wheel. My foot is on the brake. I apply pressure. I watch the gauge, 300 to 500 pounds of brake pressure. Every single step was prescribed out. So I'm reading the manual. I memorize the steps. I'm visualizing this every day. So we got it just covered everything. So as we got ready for the class, it was another start of a race of mine. So with our message today, the first point I have in the bulletins is faith. So with faith, in Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. This is in 2 Timothy 4:7. So according to Timothy, keeping our faith assists us in fighting a good fight. Sometimes it might be literal, but more figurative. That fight to get through our jobs, that fight to get through schooling, that fight to raise my children well, that fight to be able to be under control as I'm driving in Christmas traffic or I'm standing in at the post office line, yeah? Those things. Having a belief that God has given us the ability to focus, persevere, and complete what we need is not done solely on our own. It's not all of my power and my energy. What I find interesting here, this is for me, I find that there's kind of two types of faiths. I have faith in God and his plan for my life and for our lives, that he set us on a path that he's perfected in Christ. We're guaranteed a place in heaven because of our faith in his sacrifice. We hold to God's word and the promises of his covenant. His promises never return void. They're always there. He follows his word. But second, I've got to have faith in my abilities through him, right? As Paul reminds us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? But if we get, thank you, son. Way to go, buddy. I got my grandson and my two niece and nephew here with us today. We did our own Christmas traditions over the weekend. So anyway, if we're encouraged that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we're following along with listening to God's plan and what he's put on our heart, I should be able to accomplish things that I set out for if I've meditated on these things. So this is our education from school, those of you that are in school. These are when we're at vocation or trade programs, or just experiences that life's taught us along the way. So yeah, it's my hands. I might be having a steering wheel in my hand or a tool on my hand, or I've got a workbook in front of me. Same with you guys. You're at work. You're doing whatever's going on. But if it's his hands in ours, and he's moving us, and it's his word in our minds and our hearts, that'll help define and structure our movement throughout the day. So what happened is I get up to this class, and it's a class, believe me. There's 18 of us in this classroom. So we're getting almost one-on-one instruction. We're in the classroom. We're out at the car. This is group instruction. So one of the workers, he's in the car, and we're going over the instructions. So you can see over here, There's a Firebird, so that's the super gas cars. Those guys were getting instructions in the super gas cars. Those of us who were going to try to license in the dragsters, we were getting license or getting some instruction here. So I felt pretty prepared as the dates got closer. My brother flew up to California. I was already there. We went to the hotel near the track. I had a high level of faith that this is where God wanted me to be at this moment. He had made everything fall in place. Even the race car that we purchased was such a smoking deal. We were able to make payments, and we were able to bring it back before it was even paid for. The guy that we knew, he needed room to redo his mom's house, so he needed the stuff gone. So we brought it home, and it's been at the house for the last 2 years as we've prepared for this point. So we were getting instruction. As you can see, I got my Jesus is Lord gym shirt on. There's a gym over on Oahu that my brother helps run with Rob Ostovich. It's a Christ-centered MMA church where they gym where they pray. They have kids do all of their homework and then they do instruction. And they're fighting at the largest levels. So I had my swag on down there, talking with people, praying with them, having a really good time, but trying to learn over here. So my second point in our work today is the good news. It's the good news. So in Acts, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. God's grace, yeah? He's pretty amazing that he gives us what we need and not what we deserve. Amen? I certainly don't deserve to be up here or getting ready to race a car or being able to go up to the mainland because I know I've made enough mistakes in my life where he would go, "You haven't earned this." But he's got a plan, and it was working out. So when we're up there, this verse is a challenge for me. It's not that it's a hard time catching the intention, but it requires a really high level of humility when I'm failing at something. I'm pretty much a pessimist if it's not going well. I have a hard time squelching that bad voice in my head. No matter how much I prepared or how well I think I can do it, that voice starts to get at me. So I need to remember God's plan. His plan isn't always to have me finish first or maybe not even finish at all. That's not the point. I'm there. I'm present. I'm trying. And I can still share the good news in my struggles. I can still share what is awesome about God having me there with somebody at that moment. It's not about me finishing the race in first place. It might not be that I finish at all, but I'm there present in that time and that place. So here, that our life has meaning. But in the book of Acts, Luke is speaking to our fleshly life in comparison to the ultimate task of sharing good news to the lost. I was at this class. I had a purpose and an intention. But I certainly made sure that if and when the time presented itself, I could pray with some folks, I could be encouraging to them. And I was more encouraging as I struggled through things because As I start to share this with you, it was a difficult, difficult course for me. It was not easy. So here is the lesson. Even when we fall short, we give God the glory and we give him the praise. Amen? In defeat, we're gracious for that opportunity. Right, coach? When we're out, we practice, we prepare all year long. We get out on that football field and we go at it. Some days we win, some days they beat us. The main thing is we don't give up on ourselves. But we're gracious for the opportunity. And like Pastor Scott is almost always saying, I get to. Yeah, I got to be there and do this. I wasn't about to not come home with the license. That would have been catastrophic. But I got to be up there and do some things. So, but sometimes in missing the mark, we can still find comfort knowing we gave it our best attempt, right? We have to do our best. We have to give it our best and give our 100% towards it. And we have to remember, in that struggle, in that time, yeah, that's when people seem to be most critical, but watching us the most. When we're having a hard time, someone's always watching and listening. They're studying our responses and our reactions and what we're doing and saying or what we're not saying or what we're not doing. We still have to be able to spread that good news. Pastor Jaywin says this a lot. Go forth and spread the gospel. Sometimes use words. I take that to mean that most of the time it's our actions, not what's coming out. Yeah, more is caught than taught. So for these little ones, they'll learn more from me. They'll learn if I'm raising my voice, but they'll also know if I'm modeling what I want and I expect. If I'm walking through them with it, this is where we're going with this stuff. They get it like that. Sometimes finishing dead last in the race has a silver lining if I'm able to share my testimony with someone. So, you know, my brother was there. This was the car I was driving in. There were two dragsters. There's two super gas cars. So I said, we'll get a good picture and be able to just pronounce it, you know, God's in the house. So I was confident that I would earn my license. I wasn't cocky. I was confident. I had the manual. I was studying. I was rehearsing. I was practicing. There were 18 of us in the class. Five were women. And I think it was 12 or 13 of us had never driven. Some people, they come up to learn to drive because they want to compete. Others want to have the license to say, yes, I've got it. Others are into just motorsports or whatever in general. So all different reasons. There are also two other experienced drivers from Maui. So we had a pretty good showing from the Aloha State. They were Neil and Rich were over there. So I was encouraging my classmates. I was learning from my instructor. I was working closely with the other crew members who are also racers themselves. And I was wearing my Christian swag, giving God the glory as I was navigating the race, getting through this class. I was praying with some, sharing the good news in context to my many blessings. Oh, what do you do? Where are you from? You know, there's always those kinds of discussions going on. Get to share my testimony and my blessings. So number three, to completion. Being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. So the daily races that we contend with are not always the most important issues. They have a measure of importance in our life, and we have to prioritize where things are going. And if we all agree, though, that there's a higher calling in spreading the good news, then we have confidence that God's perfect plan for us will be fully fulfilled when Christ returns. Along the way, there's nuggets, yeah. There's these little nuggets of improvements and confirmations that the good news is being spread, and we're confident that we're going to work towards completion. Sometimes we settle in for races as a marathon. Some are sprints. They're quick. They're fast. We get it done. Others are marathons. It kind of reminds me of that story of the tortoise and the hare. Slow and steady may be the best way to complete a race. Slowly doing our devotions, steadily doing our devotions each day, spending time in God, asking him, having conversations. Nice and easy might get us there a lot smoother and quicker than darting back and forth and here and there and all over the place, expending a bunch of energy. We work diligently at each of the races we're facing, yeah, folks? Little bit each day. Sometimes we got to take a break. We got to rest up. We got to recharge ourselves. That's what getting into the Word will do for us. That's what spending time with him and each other does. So I want to continue to encourage us to do those things. Then we're ready to face the race a new day, right? It's a new day we have. We wake up, I'm above ground. Thank you, Lord. Here we go. What do you want me to do today? So with class, it was school. It started at 7:30. We were there, ready to go. So we had a couple hours of instruction in the classroom. 9:30 the first day, we were in the car. So Rich Lucas from Maui, he was the first dragster driver. He was in the first seat of the class. I was number two in the seat. Frank Holly was very organized, so he had us all sitting in the run order we'd be going in. So I was the second driver in the dragster. We were in the cars. So they got everything done. So I was confident. I was ready to do this. I was ready to compete and complete this race. I'd studied, I'd practiced, I'd prepared for the class. You can ask my wife. There'd be nights I'm sitting in the car because I have a dragster, it's in the garage. I'm sitting in there, I'm going through everything, got my eyes closed. I know what I'm doing. I'm making vroom vroom noises, doing the burnout, stop, back up. Oh, shoot, I forgot something, start over. I was driving myself crazy, but I knew everything I had to do. Had the manual right there, was studying. I was mentally prepared, and I felt really confident. And I bet, show of hands, how many thought I had a good time? No. I did not. I did not have a good time. For that first whole day, it was hard. I struggled. I was scared, okay? Now, I've been around these race cars and some that are louder and faster than what I was driving. I've been around them for almost 40 years. But getting in this thing was scary. I was ready. I was excited. I wasn't cocky, I was confident, but I was scared. So, yeah, I had no experience driving this car. We have no experience sometimes walking the race when we leave out here in the parking lot, or we get up in the morning, or we're going to a new job, or we're meeting with new people. If we don't have a baseline of experience, it's scary, and it's okay. Because if that's where God wants you, and he's got a plan for you, and you're ready, we can do all things through Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So when we're getting there, just real quick, on these engines, they're just GM, right? General Motors, factory performance race engines, 730 horsepower. Now, that's a lot. It's quite a bit. But that's all they were. They were on carburation. They were carbureted, had race gas. They were in there. So I knew every single step I needed to do. I mean, every single step, because that's why we had the manual. It wasn't read it and get there and he teaches. The expectation was you know what you need to do, and he kind of helps you through those little bumps. So we got there. Now, to earn your license, okay, who's been to a racetrack before, like a drag race? Who's been to these? Just so I can get a show of hands. Not too many. Okay, so I'm gonna help describe this for you to give you some visualizations and stuff, because this is how this race works. To earn your license, you have to be able to drive out 200 feet. Then if you do that well, you go to 600, then you go to 1,000, and then you do the full racetrack. Here, a quarter mile is 1,320 feet. So you get to do that. 200 feet is about from where I'm standing to not even halfway through the parking lot over there. It's just past the building. 200 feet is not very far is what I'm trying to do. So I get in the car, we do the burnout, that was no problem, back up stage. And there's a ignition control so that it doesn't hit you all at once except on the launch. And it hit me at like 8,000 RPM and I flinched. You know that fight or flight response that we have in our bodies, right? If something scares us, we do this. Well, I did that. So I had my foot in the throttle. I let go of the transmission brake, which locks the car up, and it went boom, and I went oof, and my foot came off the throttle. The rule is if your foot comes off the throttle, you fail the run, you have to repeat it. I'm like, oh, man, I was ready for this. I've been studying and practicing. What's the problem? It's 200 feet. I can see it. Big number one sitting over there. It's 200 feet away. All I had to do was go, it would have been done in less than a second and a half. I failed it. Back into the classroom, oh, and you know what they were doing? They recorded our runs. Now, I knew this before because I've been watching YouTube videos for the last year. Oh, all the runs. I knew what to look for, where, what it sounded like. I had it all down. But they filmed us. Richard talks, he passed. Oh, God. He goes, all right, Frank, what happened? And Frank Hawley's sitting up there. He goes, so what happened? He looks at me. I said, I flinched. He goes, yep. What are you going to do next? I said, I'm not going to flinch. He goes, we'll see. That was the extent of my instruction and encouragement. He went on to the next person. We went around. So that was that. So then we came back up, did it again, got in there. I was ready. I flinched again. It's okay. You can laugh. I wasn't laughing. I can laugh at it now. I felt this big. It's like, I knew what was going to happen. I felt it already. What's the problem? Hold your foot in the throttle. Good Lord. You do it every day going to work. Why couldn't I do it now? Right? Amen. I was like, what is going on? I'm supposed to be having fun. I'm supposed to be here. Everything got lined up. I paid a lot of money to learn this. I failed. I was not having fun. And this is maybe noonish on Saturday. I couldn't do it. So we kept going, trying to get this thing taken care of. So I'm going to leave you hanging with that for a little while here as we move on. This next point, number four, brought you glory. I was not feeling like I could thank anybody at this time. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. I wasn't finishing anything. I couldn't get 10 feet out of the starting line without flinching, failing. It was a fail. I have to come and redo it. In these scriptures, John and Luke are aligned in their teaching to us. They're instructing us to bring glory to his kingdom. And if we look at our races as an opportunity to glorify God's kingdom, I think we're working smarter, not harder, okay? And when we're doing this, our focus and intent is giving him praise, then our efforts, regardless of what happens, meet his expectations. I wasn't feeling very glorious and thanking him, okay, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to redo 200 feet again. because now it's starting to cost more money because we pay for a certain number of runs, and if I exceed that, I got to start paying cash, and now I've got to have an explanation for my beautiful, lovely wife why I cost her more money in doing something that I should be able to do. So I got that going on, and the devil's chirping at me, and all of these things are going crazy. But God, in his plan for our life, if he allows us to win a race, we count that as a bonus. It should be a bonus. But I wasn't looking at completing this class as a bonus. It's a must-do. I need to do this. I must do this. However, each of us knows what assignments and callings God's placed on our hearts. And we're not only encouraged to finish these and bring glory to him and strengthen and build the fruits of the Spirit in our life. We all have different gifts. God puts on our heart, hey, I need you to do this. Consider doing that. Help out over here. And we can either say, yes, I'm in, or pray on it, you know, take some time, get some counsel, feel comfortable, but step out in faith. This is a step out in faith with me. Like I said, I want to do it. I was excited to do it, but it's a step out. I have no baseline to compare this to. So I'm back up. It's the third time. 200 feet. I'm ready to go. I know I've got more runs to do. I'm not having fun. There's no smile on my face. I've been praying and having a lot of conversations with God. But I get in here. My brother gave me some good advice. He goes, you need to get aggressive on that line. I'm like, man, I'm going to rack up this car. I did take out the insurance on it, though, because there's optional insurance that you can do in case, God forbid, you ruin the thing. So I had insurance, but I didn't want to be like, yeah, I've rented a car, and if I rack it up, I can just drop it off with the keys and walk away. I didn't want to have that kind of a mentality. But I said, what do you mean by that? He said, you need to get aggressive. Put your foot in that thing, lock it down. He goes, you won't do this in a race. He said, lock your knee. Just lock your knee and go. I said, all right, we'll do that. And I did, and I passed. Matter of fact, I wanted to make sure, since my foot stayed in the throttle, I drove a little bit past the number one, past 200 feet. So when we got back in and he was going, so Frank, how'd that run go? I said, I got it. He goes, yeah, and you went too far. And he's drumming his fingers like, oh my God, he's going to make me do this again. He goes, you ready for 600? I said, yes. He goes, okay, let's go. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I got 200 feet, 200 small little feet. I did it. I got it done. I still wasn't having fun. My heart was pounding. I'm sweating. I still wasn't having fun, but I was happy. I got through that. I got done. So what I'd like to do is they allowed us to purchase some thumb drives or SanDisk or whatever they were, and I want to take you for a ride with me. I got the 600. I still wasn't having fun. I got through the 600 feet, and now it's time for the 1,000 foot. I still wasn't having fun, but I was feeling it. I'm like, I got this now. I'm ready. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. I'm starting to have just a smidgen of fun, but now it's a run. You know, those short ones, you feel it, and then you're out of the throttle. So what I want to do is take you on a ride with me on my 1,000-foot run. Go ahead.
Brake pressure for me?
Ready to go. Yep, right. Don't worry. It's there. Right. We'll find it. How's my helmet number? Isn't that awesome? 7. I wish it was 777. So I'm in the car. The racetrack is 90 degrees to me, so that's what we're doing. We're coming up for the burnout. So I've got to line this dragster up that's 25 feet long on a very narrow spot between two cones so I can get this thing correct. So we're going to do a burnout. Stop. back up. You'll see my instructor over here on the left side of this screen. See how slow I'm going? Everything was so prescribed. Very, very, very slow. Everything we did was very slow motion. It wasn't about rushing anything. Sounds tame, doesn't it? It's just idling. It's just idling. There's a muffler on this thing. I was 1,000 feet. I was doing about 120 miles an hour out to 1,000 feet. So we get to the end, we drive the car back. Okay. So now I was having some fun. Now I'm having fun. I was kind of hooping it up on the return road coming back. So I'm getting closer. I was having a good time there. Number 5 in our bulletin, we're going to finish the work. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. 2 Corinthians. Eagerly, enthusiastically finishing the work we have set out to complete is something we all want to do. Originally, right? I wasn't having fun. I wasn't too eager. I wasn't really enthusiastic. I knew I needed to accomplish it. But I needed to get to where I was starting to enjoy myself. Here we are. That's where we were at. I don't think anyone sets out to finish a race anywhere other than first place. I mean, if we're going to compete in a game, we want to win. If we're going to have a race, we want to come in first. If we're going to have a contest, we want to take home the blue ribbon. It's just in our nature. We want to compete and take home the top prize. We want to give our best. We want to do the best of our ability. We know we won't always finish first. And we won't always complete every detail of a task to perfection. I think sometimes perfection is what God is. God is perfect. He does expect us to be as excellent as we can. So there's no such thing as perfection in our world until Christ comes. But we can all work to be excellent. So as we're finishing a work, that's where we should be aiming for. If we work for excellence, regardless of the results, we can all have satisfaction that of our excellent efforts, our good heart, and a willing positive attitude are good enduring characteristics that we want to see. We want to stay on those things. So part of this scripture here, according to your means, to me, and this is just my humble opinion, and I'll probably get schooled on it, but it just seems out of place. According to your means, I think, should come first, not at the end. And maybe it's just the way the context and the syntax of the way that they were interpreting scripture, but I can't say that because scripture is done in a way that God wanted it to be out, so I'm really arguing with God for no good reason here. So I'm not saying we can't learn new things or become experts at new skills. If that's God's plan and you feel called in that direction, nothing's going to stop us from getting there. But the reality is we all have different means and abilities. There's some things that I can't run out and, you know, check out Pastor Aaron down and jump in one of those million-dollar machines I'd be very scared. I can't do that. He's got skills I don't. But the reality is that if we're aware of our means and we enter a race, we're able to help make sure that we're not misaligned in the requirements of what's going on, right? That's why that preparation, that time with God, that time in our devotions, that time with others, small Bible groups, coming here to service, to minister and be around and fellowship with others, helps us to stay aligned, strengthen our abilities, strengthen our means, get the encouragement, and go out there and do those things. So that if and when we feel brave and we want to try something new and step out, we've got people around us who knows that same feeling. and aren't going to condemn you for that, and aren't going to look down on you when you struggle, and aren't going to pull you down. Yeah, crabs in a bucket. No, you can't get out. You're not going to get away from this. You got to stay down here and be miserable with us. That's not what we're about. We want to lift each other up. Even if I can't get it done and I see somebody who's got the skill set, I'm like, man, I can't do this, but I think you can. And here's my rationale. I want to help you do it. I'll enjoy it, you know, vicariously. That's a big word of, hey, if you're enjoying it and I'm able to help, I get a lot of satisfaction out of that. So that's where we're at. I'll wager a bet with you. If we're honest with ourselves and we know God has called us to do something uncomfortable and challenging and different or new, and we haven't answered that call yet, there's all kinds of reasons for that. And some of them are legitimate and they're reasonable. But my challenge to all of us, I challenge us, pray on what God gives to you in those quiet, still moments or in those frantic, you're blowing a gasket kind of times where he goes, son, daughter, take a breath. Watch this, cuz. And he just goes, let me in here. If we surrender to that and we let him and we go, oh, thanks, Dad. Okay. But I want to challenge you to do that. Meditate on your means in light of his calling. Ask for clarity. Ask for guidance. Ask for courage. His timing's not our timing. I've been into working in racing cars since the 80s. I still haven't driven in competition. Hopefully in this next year with the plans we've got in place, it will be in 2019. We'll be out there. It's a long dream coming. His timing's not my timing. We always feel ill-prepared around that. Sometimes I feel like, I'm ready. Get me in this car. And I failed. Not once, but twice. So I wasn't ready. I don't know what more I could have done to prepare for those 200-foot passes. But I wasn't ready, because if I was really ready, I think in my mind, I would have gone just click, bang, boom, right through it like several of the other students that were there with me. But God knows what we need and why we need it, and he has our best in mind. Amen to that? So not counting my two unsuccessful 200-foot passes, I made the passes at 200, 600, and 1,000. Day one is done. I'm having fun. I'm smiling ear to ear. I'm praising God. Smashing on the devil who was just all over me earlier, 4 or 5 hours earlier in the day. We got a good night's rest. We came back out. I had two passes to do, two full-length passes down the quarter mile to earn my license. So we did some more classwork. We looked at some other videos. I prayed with some folks. We had a good time. We got ready, got strapped into the office, and we got ready for the other run. So we're going to do another run. This one's from outside the car. The first one was facing me, so you could see the terror in my eyes. This one's from the scoop on the back of the car, and it's the full quarter mile. So we're going to close with this, but this one will take a ride along, kind of like that bird's view for you.
Brake pressure. Pull the kill switch, hit the starter button.
Cones there. He had everything prescribed. That was 10 feet. Very short. you all just went on a ride-along with me. My two full passes were about 8.4 seconds at 157 miles an hour. So that's a ride-along with you. But it's not about me getting up here and showing this stuff off to you, because I was really having a hard time with, like, how are they going to receive this? But tying it into finishing our races, my friends, trusting in what God has for you. My responsibility to report back to you on, as a chaplain for Racers for Christ, and the support that you folks have for us out there, for Marcia and I, down at the track. Because, you know, Sunday mornings, I do a service, and it's growing. We pray with people. I'm praying with the racers. I check with them when they're coming up for their runs. I pray with them each time. So this helps legitimize some of what I'm doing when they know that I'm a racer as well, that I face the same kinds of challenges as fears as them. But this allows me also to fulfill a dream that I think God's going to really be able to move this, and New Hope East Hawaii is going to have a big part of that because you guys support us in that. So it wasn't just about showing off. It's not about that at all. It's about being able to step up here with humility, but a sense of pride and go, hey, you know, this was hard for me. I wasn't having fun. It was very, very challenging. It was scary. I was scared that first day. I got through it. We can all get through things. We can trust in the Lord. We can trust in ourselves. We can trust in our skills. We can trust in His Word to help us finish our races. Amen? Okay. I'd like to, let's just, wherever you're at, you know, it's our Christmas season, and we're around and we're very busy, but I want to be able to take a moment and offer and just, let's just close up in prayer here. Father, we thank You for this day, Lord God. I thank You for the opportunities that You bless with me, be able to share my experience with my friends here. But regardless of that, Lord God, we all have races that we're doing, and we all have challenges and struggles, Lord God. And I just want to encourage those of us here that are just having that dark moment. Let them hear my voice, Lord God. I know that dark moment. I know how you feel. And God knows how you feel, because He had His dark moment on that cross in Calvary. And Lord, just encourage them. Bless them. Keep them strong, Lord God. Have a hedge of protection around them, Lord. Not just this season, but all year long. We just praise and thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can we say thank you, Chaplain Frank? You know, brother, I knew you were crazy, but you're crazy. But isn't it wonderful that he is crazy for Jesus Christ, and he gets to do that down at the track? Well, would you stand with us this morning? And let's take this out, giving God glory as we sing one more Christmas hymn.
You've been listening to Chaplain Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.